Begin the current daf, Masechtas Baba Kama, daf mem tes. Begin on the bottom of daf mem ches mem beis, four lines up from the bottom of the amud, where the Gemara begins the new Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the Shur HaMazik, the final in this discussion of this series of discussing the Mazik of Shur. So the Mishnah begins, Shur Shoy Miskaven L'Chaver. If an ox was intending to harm its friend, meaning another ox, Vehika Se'isha, and by mistake then it goes and it harms a woman, the Yatsuyuladeha, the woman was pregnant, and now she miscarries the fetuses that she was carrying. Says the Mishnah, Patamid Mevladis, so the owner of the ox is exempt from the penalties of the value now that was lost of the children that were miscarried. Now, actually, as Rashi points out, the halacha even applies if the ox intended to harm the woman, there's still an exemption for the owner of the ox on the Demei of the Vladis, as the Gemara had said on the Membezamid Aleph, that Bala Sharnaki, one of the drushes was that the owner of the ox is exempt, even from the Dmei Vladis. So the Gemara will explain then, why does it say it in the term of when it intended for the ox and instead hit the woman, then there's the exemption of Dmei Vladis, which would sound like, but if he intended to harm the woman, then there would be a liability of Dmei Vladis, when we know from the Gemara Daf Mem Beis that there's always an exemption of a Shur Kinagach of Dmei Vladis. Now, however, that's regarding the Shur. But a similar case regarding Va'adam, a person, if he was intending, he was fighting with his friend. And by mistake, instead he ended up hitting a pregnant woman, and she now miscarried because of an injury, then the halach is Meshamat Mevlad, this is a parish in the Torah, then that person has to pay for the value, the loss of that fetus, which was miscarried. Explains the Mishnah, Ketzad Meshamat Mevlad, this, how does one pay for the value of the fetuses that were lost? Says the Mishnah, Shaman Esteisha Kamahi Yafa Achla Yalda. You evaluate the woman. How much was she worth in value? Let's say she was sold as a slave woman until she hadn't given birth, meaning when she was still pregnant with the fetuses. For Kamahi Yafa Mish Yalda, now how much is she worth now that she already gave birth? In other words, that she lost those children. How much does that value go down in market value? That's the loss. That's what's called Dmei Vladis. That's what has to be compensated to that family. Now, Amram Shimon Gamliel. He says, as we continue the top of Mtesim and Aleph, that in disagreement with the Tanakhama, he says, M'kain, if that's the case, Misha Isha Yeled is Misha Bachas. What do you mean? When the woman gives birth, she actually goes up in value, which the Gemara is going to explain, where does he see that, what does he see fit? But therefore he says, you can't say that you value Dmei Vladis in regards to the value of the woman, because she actually goes up in value when she's not pregnant anymore. So how can you say that's the loss that's being incurred that has to be paid by the person that damaged her? Ella rather explains, Reb Shimon, Shaman es Avladis Kamehen Yafin. To the contrary, we don't evaluate the woman, because a woman herself, she's better off not being pregnant. We evaluate the children, how much they were worth before the loss of life, and how much are they worth now where there's no life over here. That loss is what's paid for by the person that damaged the woman. Now, moreover, says the Mishnah of Benois Labal, that compensation, whether it be the loss of the woman's value or the loss of the fetuses, where according to the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon respectively, that's given to the husband because the Torah merits that to the husband, as the Pasuk says in Shemos Chaf Aleph, that Kasha Yashas Alav Baal Ha'isha, that's placed upon the person who caused the loss of life, has to be compensated to the husband of the woman. Now, V'mein LaBaal, she doesn't have a husband, then Nisin LaYarshav, then it's given to his inheritors. Now, let's say he's a Shivcha V'nishtacher, let's say he's talking about a case where the woman that was carrying, which was injured and then she miscarried, was a maidservant who was freed. So now she's a Jewish woman, or a non-Jewish woman that converted to Judaism. In other words, what's so special about these cases, they're regular Jewish women? It's because what we're talking about over here is there was a woman, a slave woman that was freed, or a woman that converted, who was married to a ger or to a freed slave. And now there's no more husband because the husband died. That halacha is going to be pater. There, the one who injured her is going to be exempt from the payment of the Dmei Vladis. The reason being is because there's halacha that someone that takes possession of the estate of a convert who died, who doesn't have any inheritors because he didn't have any children, and no one else from his previous life before converted is considered halacha related to him, so then whoever grabs it first merits it, so therefore this guy is essentially the first guy who he has the payment money that he didn't pay yet, he's the first one to merit it when the husband that's a ger or an eved meshurcha that dies, and therefore he doesn't have to pay anything. Now, as Rashi points out, why does it say in this elongated terminology, ha'isa shivcha v'nishtacharer, that she was a slave woman that got freed, why doesn't it say if she was a mishuchereres, which we find the term many times, if she was a freed slave woman, why say she was a shivcha men minishtachra? The reason being is because what the primary point the Mishnah is trying to say is that there are no children. And that's why it's saying, which sounds like that she just was a slave woman and was just freed, so she didn't have children yet. Because if she had children, then of course it would go to Yershov. It would go to the inheritors of the husband. Now actually, one more important thing Rashi points out is actually the halacha is not necessarily that it was the woman was a shivcha v'nishtachar or geyeris. Same halacha would apply with a regular full-fledged woman that was born a Jewish woman, that was married to a ger, and the ger died. That's the primary concept that then the person that injured the woman is going to be exempt. Because the Dmei Vladis doesn't go to the woman, we don't care about her, it goes to the husband. And if he has no inheritors because he was a ger and had no children, which that's recorded in the concept of saying Haysa Shivcha v'nishtachara, or geyeris, which tells us that they just got married, and therefore they didn't have children yet, because she was just freed, or she just converted. Now, so why do we say Haysa Shivcha v'nishtachara? Because generally, it's a freed slave woman that gets married to a freed slave, and the female convert who gets married to the ger. That's why it says in that way. So again, both of those components are not primary. The primary point is if it's a ger, that's the husband, or Evan Meshucher, and died without any children, then the guy merits it to himself. We only say in the female aid to say it in that she just got freed. And moreover, because generally a Shivcha Meshucher is the one that's married to Evan Meshucher, and that's why we say it in that way. But again, the primary concept is that the guy's exempt because there's no inheritors, and therefore the first one to grab from the next ger, which he's already holding the money that he didn't even pay yet, he gets to keep, and therefore he's exempt. Now the Gemara asked the question that we alluded to in the Mishnah already. Taima de miskaven lechaver, the opening halacha of the Mishnah said that the shayr that intended for his fellow shayr and instead injured the pregnant woman and she miscarried, then the shayr is going to be exempt. So it sounds like the reason is because miskaven lechaver, because he intended to injure another ox. Hamiskaven leisha, but it would sound like if he was coming to gore the woman, mishama de mevlodes, then the owner of the ox would have to pay for the loss of those fetuses. Let's say that refutes what Rav Ad Bar Ava had said. Because the Amar Rav Ad Bar Ava, he said, as we said, it's quoted on Daf Mem Beis Amid Aleph and Perek Shor Shenogach Dal Vehei, that Shvarim Shenizkavnu Leisha, that if oxen intended to gore a woman, Pitur Mid Mevlades, they're exempt from the value of the loss of the children in the woman's womb, because that's learned from Ubala Shor Naki, that is Naki from the Mevlades. Yet here we see clearly that, no, if the ox intended to gore the woman, that you would be chayv. It's only because he intended to gore just a fellow ox. Rav Ad Bar Ava would tell you that no. Hu adin dafil niskavnu liisha nami patur midmei vladis. Truth would apply even the exemption of midmei vladis would be even if an ox intended to gore the woman. Now, v'hadik tani shor shoyim niskav lachaveri, so why'd we say it in a way of when the ox was intending to gore his fellow ox and instead by mistake injured the woman? It's only because I did the Kabbalah Misnes Sefer. It's only because I wanted to contrast it with the next case of the Mishnah regarding Adam, Shoy Miskaven Lechaveroi, which talks about the same case when a person was intending to fight with his friend and instead by mistake injured a woman. Now, the reason why by Adam it says like that is because the Hachik Sev Kra. That's how the Pasuk says it. Pasuk says, Ki Yenotza Anashim, if men are fighting and then by mistake he injures a pregnant woman. So there we see that the Torah, when it's talking about a man being liable, it's talking about when he's intending to fight with his friend. So that's why Ketoni Reisha Nami, that's what the Reisha also said to parallel that case, Shor Shor Miskaven Lechaver, regarding an ox that was intending for its friend, but the halacha would be of the Nakamid Mevlad, this would be even if the ox intended for the woman, it's only saying it because comparing it to the case of an Adam that is Chayiv on the Mevladis. Now, however, Amar Rav Papa, he says that although the Mishnah said that a Shor Shanagach as the Isha is exempt from the Mevladis, but Shor Shanagach as Hashivcha V'yatzi Yoladah, but if an ox gores a slave woman and then the fetuses are miscarried, then Misham with Mevladis, then the owner of the ox has to pay that loss of those fetuses. My time, what's the reason? It's because we don't view the woman as a woman and the Mevladis. Yes, that's just regarding an Adam, not regarding a shirt. Here we view the slave woman as so to speak, a pregnant donkey that was damaged. Because the Amakra, the Torah tells us in Bereshit, where Avraham Avinu tells to Eliezer, Shavu lechem poyim hachamor, he tells his son Yishmael, stay here with the donkey, which the Drasha tells us, Am hadayma lechamor. Eliezer came from Canaan, which there are people that are similar to donkeys, which means to say Canaan are always considered the shifchas the avodim, Eved Kenani as we call it, we see that an Eved and a Shifcha are considered like donkeys, meaning to say it's money that I own. And therefore, if someone has a pregnant animal that was miscarried, of course there's liability of a monetary loss. That would apply so too to a Shifcha, in contrast to a regular woman. The Baal HaShor would be chayav for the loss of the Vladis. Now the Mishnah then said, how do we pay, how do we evaluate the value when a person damages a pregnant woman that he has to pay to the husband? How do we evaluate it? So he said, according to the Chachamim, you see, how much was she worth before when she was still pregnant, and how much is she worth less that she miscarried? Whereas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, he said that it's actually not the woman that we're evaluating, but rather it's the fetuses. Now, the Gemara asks, Dimei Vlodois, the value of the children, and as the Bach puts in the Hagovah, the letter Vav, and Shvach Vlodois Mi Bailei, there's actually two components over here. When we say in the Mishnah that we evaluate the woman, in this evaluation is, first of all, okay, obviously the loss of the Vlad itself, of the fetus. Moreover, there's also another element here that the woman seems as if she's healthier, she's larger, because of the fetus causes her to increase in size, and therefore that increases her value, her market value. So why are we saying, Kesa Mishama Demei Vladis, just Demei Vladis? There's another component over here that has to be paid and evaluated. It's also the Shvach Vladis, the increase that happens because of the pregnancy, not just the loss of the fetus itself. So the Gemara says, no, Hachikama, you're right, this is what the Mishnah was saying. Kesa Mishama Demei Vladis, Vishvach Vladis, that's what the Mishnah was addressing. How do you evaluate the loss of the fetuses and the increase of the woman herself that was because of the Vlad, that the woman herself increased in value? That's what the Mishnah was saying. According to the Kama, Shaman Esa Isha, you evaluate the woman. Kama hi yafa, how much is a woman worth more because of her carrying these fetuses? Achayol shlayolda, until she hadn't yet given birth. Vekama hi yafa mishayolda, and how much is she worth less now that she gave birth to them? In other words, that it was miscarried. In other words, now that she's emptied, her value herself, forget about the Vladis itself, her value itself goes down. That is evaluated together with the Mei Vladis. And that, together with the Mei Vladis, the Shvach Vladis and the Mei Vladis, goes to the husband. And that is because, as Rashi explains, the actual injury that the woman incurred, that's not included in what the Mishnah is discussing regarding the evaluation. That's not regarding how much she's worth less now that she's emptied out from carrying a fetus. That's the actual weakening of her body because of the injury. Her own value goes down from, let's say, how much she would have been worth as a healthy woman, not pregnant, which is a damages that's to herself, and that doesn't go all of it to the husband. That's rather like how you would evaluate a regular injury that a woman would incur, which the Gemara in Ksubas already sets. And of Samachem Abeis, depending what type of an injury, if it's a concealed injury, she gets two parts to his one part. And if it's a revealed injury, he gets two parts to her one part. But here, what we're discussing in the Mishnah is purely regarding the loss of carrying a child, not regarding her own injury. That there's two parts. There's Mevladis, the fetus itself, that loss, and also the woman's Shvach, how much she increased the value by her being pregnant. That is also evaluated, and that also goes to the husband. Now, on that, Amr Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that he said, M. Cain, if that's the case, that's how you evaluate it based on the woman's value. To the contrary, Misha Isha, you led this Misha Bachas. From the woman gives birth, then she's actually more higher value. You're telling me that he has to pay for the loss now that she's not pregnant anymore? To the contrary, says Reb Shimon. Her value goes up when she's not pregnant. Now, the Gemara asks, my comma, what is Reb Shimon ben Gamliel saying? In other words, it sounds like from his wording that what he was telling to the Tanna Kamma was, if so, according to you, that you hold that the woman, when she gives birth, goes up in value, that's what his words sound like. That im kei mishishi leds mishabachas, what do you mean? That's not what the Tanna Kamma said. Tanna Kamma said that the value goes down. So what's Reb Shimon Gamliel saying? So Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, Hacha Kamma. No, this is what Reb Shimon Gamliel was saying. He was asking, it was v'chi, what do you think? Like, you, the Tanna Kamma, are saying that a woman is higher up in value before she gives birth than how much she's worth after she gives birth? So it's not like, as the Gemara's question was, what Reb Shimon was saying, that it sounded like he was saying that's what the Tanna Kamma holds. No, he's asking. He says that you're telling me that she's actually worth more before she gives birth than afterwards? And that Reb Shimon Gamliel was disagreeing and saying, no, v'haloi ishem mushbachas, to the contrary, a woman is actually higher value monetarily, la'acha shetelet, after she gives birth, yesem mikayin mishtelet, more than how much she was worth before she gave birth. In other words, actually, her value was lesser regarding selling when she was pregnant because she's in danger of her life due to the travails of childbirth. And that's what the Mishnah was saying. Reb Shimon Gamliel was saying, if so, that according to you, that's how we evaluate based on the woman, then actually it comes out that the damager should not have to give her anything. Because actually the fact that she's not pregnant anymore actually makes her a higher value. Ella, rather, that's what Reb Shimon Gamliel was disagreeing, and they were saying, no, shaman es havlodois, v'nois nabal. The only thing we evaluate is actually the fetuses, and that's what we give it to the husband. Because actually, regarding the woman herself, there is no shvach vlodois. In other words, we explained according to the Kama that there's two components, there's not just the Vlad, but there's also the Shvach of the woman herself. That Reb Shimon Gamliel is disagreeing according to the interpretation of Rabbi, saying, no, there's no Shvach for the woman. The woman is actually on her own, more Meshubach, not pregnant than pregnant, and therefore the only thing that we evaluate is the Dmei Vlad and not the Dmei of the not the Shvach of the Vlad, this meaning of the woman herself. Says the Gemara Tanam Hachi, similar in the Braisa that supports Rabbi's interpretation. That this is what Reb Shimon Gamliel was saying. We're saying, what do you think? A woman, there's shvach vladis, there's these two components. A woman is better off before she gives birth than afterwards. Actually, a woman is a higher value when she's not pregnant, where there's no concerns about dying in childbirth, than when she is pregnant. So rather, Reb Shimon Gamliel disagrees and says, the only thing we evaluate is the loss of the fetuses, that obviously has value, and that we give to the husband. But the woman's own shvach, there is none of that. That's Rava's interpretation. Rav Amar gives a different interpretation. It says, this is what Reb Shimon Gamliel was saying. V'chi'isha l'misha yiladas mushabachas. So there's these words that you have to put in, l'misha yiladas. In other words, Reb Shimon Gamliel's question to the Talmid Kama was, what? I hear that you're saying that the Shvach goes, that the Dmei Vlad and the Shvach goes to the husband. On that, Reb Shimon Gamliel was asking, he says, what do you mean? A woman goes up in value only for the one that she gives birth to? And ve'en la'atzma b'shvach vlad is klum, what do you think? And for herself, there is no gain from the children that she's carrying? In other words, the question that he's asking Tanna Kamma is, what do you think that the Torah merited the Dmei Vladis to the husband? That we know the Torah says. So you think that we also give the Shvach of the Vladis, meaning the increase of the woman's expansion in her body mass, that her body goes up in value, which is that's the Shvach that happens because she's pregnant. What, you think that also goes to the husband? What do you mean? That doesn't happen only because of the fetus. It's also her body that causes her to expand. And therefore, that is like the halachas of Nizakin, which is a damage to her own self. And that doesn't go just to her husband, that goes to her too. So the question according to Rava is, that he's asking is, this interpretation holds no, Reb Shimon Gamliel agrees that there's not just Mevladis and there's also Shvachladis. But that shouldn't also go to the husband the way you're saying the Tanna Kamma. Ella rather disagrees with Shimon Gamliel and he says, Shaman es avlodes v'nois nabal. I agree that the fetus itself, like the Torah says, that goes to Bala Isha. But the Shvach Vlodes Chalken. But the increase of the woman that happens to the children, that actually gets split because the value of the increase of the woman happens because of both of the fetus and because of herself. So that's split between who owns the Dmei Vlodis, which is the husband, and herself. So it's on regarding that he disagrees. And Tanna Mahochi, similar in the Brice like Rava's interpretation. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, V'chi'isha l'misha yiladis mishbachas. You think that the woman increases in value only for the one that she's giving birth to, meaning to the one who owns the Dmei Vlodis, which is her husband? Ve'en la'atma b'shvach vlodis klum, and you think for her own self that there is no increase? Elishaman Nezik Bifni Asim, rather Reb Shimon Gamliel says, we evaluate the damage individually, which that's a whole different thing. That's regarding the decrease in the woman's own body because of the actual physical injury, which we say nothing to do with the pregnancy. As a healthy, non-pregnant woman, which that doesn't have anything to do with the pregnancy, that gets evaluated, which as we mentioned before, that's what the Gemara Masechta Ketubot says, like a regular injury, depending if it's a revealed or concealed injury, that gets evaluated in its own right. And the pain gets evaluated in its own right. Now, b'shamen esav vladais, now you evaluate the loss of the fetuses. V'noisnin, and now you give all of that value, labal, that's like the Torah says. But v'shvach vladais, but the increase of the children, which is the loss of the increase of the woman's body mass, that is something that now, because you're not pregnant anymore, that's cholkin. Again, that is the shvach of lod. That's what he's disagreeing regarding. That shouldn't only go to the husband. That gets split between the husband and the woman. Now, the Gemara says, kasha der b'shem glil ad shem glil. But now you have a contradiction in these two brises, which one supports Rabba, one supports Rava, and they're both saying like b'shem glil, meaning b'shem glil himself says both of these versions into these two brises. Now, that's a contradiction. Because in one brice, you have like Rava that says that the shvach vlad is al-chalkin. Obviously, according to that interpretation, Pshim Gamliel holds that the woman increases in value, meaning when she's pregnant, more than when she's not pregnant. Yet before, we quote a brice like Rava that said that a woman is actually higher value when she gives birth, meaning when she's not pregnant, than when she is pregnant. So now how to resolve the contradiction of these two brices like Pshim Gamliel? So think about loikash, it's not a difficulty. Khan, the first brice is talking about Bimeva Keres, when she's giving birth, she's pregnant for the first time. Where there her value is lesser before she gives birth than after she gives birth, because she never gave birth before. We don't know how she handles birth. She's in danger of dying. So then actually, yes, like Rabbi had said, the value is higher after she gives birth than when she before gives birth, and therefore there wouldn't be any shvach vladis. Khan, the second brice, is talking about Bisha Einim Vakaris. When it's not her first time giving birth, we know that she's good at giving birth, and therefore we're not concerned about the danger to her life. And therefore, actually, there is an increase in the value of the woman expanding of the Shvach of the Vladis, and therefore the Rebbe Shmuel Gamliel would agree that there is Shvach Vladis, but it's just that he contests the Tanakama regarding who gets it. Not like the Tanakama that only the husband gets it, but rather it's Chalkim between the woman and the husband. So now the Gemara goes back and asks, Rabbanan de Amri Shvach Vladis Nami Labal. So now, according to the Rabbanan, that they disagreed with Shmuel Gamliel, where again, depending on which pregnancy it is for the woman, whether the first pregnancy, Reb Shimon Gamliel holds, is not going to be any shvach at all. So even the later pregnancies, Reb Shimon Gamliel says that there's going to be shvach. He says, but okay, at least it should be split between the woman and the husband. Now, the Rabbanan disagree and they say that no, both of them, the Mei Vladis and the Shvach Vladis, both go to the Baal, so my timer, what's the reason for that? Seemingly, Reb Shimon Gamliel has a good point, as it was illustrated in the Brisa, that, what do you mean? It's not something that's being caused just by the Vlad. It's being caused by the woman herself. So it should be split between her and her husband. Nothing more says, Kititnan, which is as we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Mimash Meshenemu, for the fact that the Patsik tells us, V'yatsu Yilodeha, that the children are, they come out and they're miscarried. Any Yidesh Yihara, don't I know that we're talking about a pregnant woman? Samatam Alamahara, what does the Patsik teach when it says, V'nokfu Ishahara, that they banged into a pregnant woman? And V'yatsu Yilodeha, of course, if there's fetus is coming out, she's obviously pregnant. So why does it say that? Loim lecha, that's coming to tell you this halacha the Rabbanan, that shvach hiroyin labal, that this that it says that we give the loss to the husband, to the bali isha, is not just the mei vladis, but it's going on even the horror part, even on the pregnancy part, which is the increase of the woman in her body, the expansion of the pregnancy, even that increase, that shvach, goes of the hiroyin of the pregnancy itself to the bal. Now, the Gemara asks, so Reb Shimon Gamliel, hi hara my dorish base. What does he expound from that word hara? Obviously, it's not to say that the shvach isha goes to the husband, because he says that that's split between the two of them, or that there is none at all. Another Gemara says, mi boy le look at the Tanya. He needs it for as it's taught in the following brisa. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Eimer, he says, lo'olam ein l'chayiv, the liability of this person that injures and makes the miscarriage of these fetuses is not liable, at sheyakena keneged base hayrayin, until he hits her, opposite the area of the womb. That's what the term of that he was nagfu ishahara, meaning he injured the pregnant woman, meaning only in the place of where the pregnancy is. Now Amar Papi qualifies this halacha, and he says loy teme keneged beis haroin mamish, doesn't mean literally he has to actually hit her directly where the womb is. El kolhecha desolik beis shichma, rather anywhere where there is going to be the heat of the bang that is going to affect levlad to the fetus. In other words, in the entire region of where the fetus is, that's where there's going to be a liability for the miscarriage, meaning lafuka yad v'regel delay, meaning excluding the hand, the extremities, and the feet, that there won't be any liability for the miscarriage of the fetus, but it doesn't have to be directly by the womb. But that's the halacha that's being learned at a kundra shimming leel from the term hara, not to say that even shvach vlad go to the baal, because he learns that that's split, rather to say that the injury has to be in that area. And the Gemara continues explaining our mission that said, but Haisa Shifcha v'nishtachar o'igiyaris, although he said that a person that injures and makes a woman miscarry, he's liable for the Dmei Vladis and Shvach Vladis, according to the Tanakhama, to the husband. But if, let's say, that it was a maidservant that was freed, or a female convert who was married to, as we said from Rashi in the Mishnah, to an Eved that was Nishtacher, or to a Ger, and now he died, then Potter, then the one who injured is going to be exempt, as the Gemara is going to explain. Amar Rabba, he qualifies this halacha. He says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn this halacha of exemption, Ela Shechavul Ba Bechaye Hager, Umeis Hager. Meaning the wound, the injury, was when the husband was still alive, the convert who the husband was alive, and then he died. So then the halacha is, the kiven the chaval ba b'chaya ger, since the injury was when the husband, the ger, was alive, so zacha b'hu ger. So the rights were merited by the husband, because that's what the pasuk says, you give it to Baal Ha'isha. Now, the kiven the meis ger, but once the husband dies, so zacha b'hu min ha'ger. So the mazik, the one that created the injury, he is the first guy that's holding on to that money, which we said in the Mishnah, an explanation that there's halacha of with his machzik gnichse hager is zachaba, he's the first guy to merit it because he's still holding the money that he didn't pay up yet. He merits it because now that the husband died and they just got married and didn't have children yet, so there's no yarshim, he gets that. Avol chavah b'la'achar misager, but says Rabba, if the actual injury was when her husband was already dead, meaning he had impregnated her, she's pregnant, during her pregnancy, her husband died, and after his death is when she was injured, then says Rabba Zachiu la ihi begavayu. So then actually, the woman, the wife, already merited the vladis, the fetuses, because the vlad are the nechasim of the husband. As the Torah tells us, that when the injury happens to the fetuses, when they get miscarried, the husband gets the money. Now, but when the ger dies, when her husband dies and she's still pregnant, so she is holding on to them at that time when he's dying, so she's before anybody else. So therefore, when later on, a month later, let's say, when she's still in pregnancy, she gets injured, it's her who's losing it because the husband doesn't own it anymore. He's dead. And if it says, Rabbi Mechayv l'shlumi lo didida, so actually, then the man who injured her will have to pay the Dmei Vladis to her, because she already merited them after her husband's death when she was still pregnant. Now on that, the Gemara asks, Amrav Chizdi, asks on Rabbi, says, Mori dichi, which means to say, the one who's teaching us this teaching, meaning Rabbi, Atu Vladis tsrarninu? What, you think that children are bundles of money? Vezachibhu? And that is that the wife who's carrying them should merit them from Hefker as if there's something here that she could take possession of? Ella rather explains Rav Chizda, he disagrees with Rab, and he says, Isei Labal, if the husband's around or his inheritors, so Zachi Le Rachmano, it's the Torah that merits him. But Lesei Labal, when the husband's not around, then Loi, then there is no liability. In other words, the liability happens only at the moment of the injury. That's when the husband gets the rights. But now when there's no husband, during the time of the injury, there's no claimant whatsoever. There's nothing here to merit. The fetus is not owned by anyone. They're children, they're people. No one owns them, they're not cattle, not money, not bundles of money. So what does it mean when the husband gets the Dmei Vladis? The Torah says when the injury happens, the loss gets paid to the husband. But when there's no husband, the wife can't merit it. And at the time of the injury, the Torah doesn't say you give it to the woman. It says to go Baal Isha. There's no Baal Isha. So then there's no claim whatsoever. And that's why, says Rav Chizda, even in that case, the mazik is going to be putter from the injuries to the Dmei Vladis, even if the husband was dead already at the time of the Chavala. Furthermore, says the Gemara Meisavit, the Gemara asks for the following brisa on Rabbi's interpretation. The brisa says, Hika se'isha v'yatsu yoladeho, if a woman gets hit and that causes her to miscarry the children, so noisin nezek v'tzar le'isha. So regarding other things, regarding the actual damages or the pain that the woman had, that goes to her. V'dmei v'lada is labal, and the value of the fetus is though that loss goes to the husband. Ein habal, if there is no husband, noisin le'yosha, we give it to his inheritors. Ein ha'isha, if there's no woman, let's say, to pay the nezek and the tzartar, so noisin le'yosha, that goes to her inheritors, which as Rashi points out, the Gemara, Andaf Mem Gimel Med Aleph, Perek Shesha Nagach Tavahei, explains that it's tumah by a grusha, and therefore the husband does inherit, or else it doesn't go to her inheritors, or actually go to her husband. Continues the Braisa. Let's say she was a maidservant that was freed, or a female convert, then zocha, then the one who did the chaval, the one who did the injury, merits the money that he owes them, he could hold on to that, which is even after the death of the husband that's a ger, that he even injured her after that point in time, and you see that he's zocha. So you see, not like Rabbah who said that, no, if the husband was dead already at the time of the injury, that then he has to pay to the woman. That the Gemara says, Amri, they said, what are you asking on Rabbah? You think this Bryce is better than the Mishnah? The Mishnah said the same words. But we explained, Rabbah explained, and he qualified the halacha. No, that's only talking about when the injury was when the husband was alive, and then he died. So then, that what the husband had the rights to, now he's a ger shemes, then the chayvel could take possession of it. Says the Gemara, here also we could explain the Bryce is talking about the same type of a case where it was during the lifetime where the injury was, and only then did he die. But you're right, if he was dead by the time of the injury, then he wouldn't marry it, he would have to give it to the wife. Or the Gemara says, if you want, you could say to answer the Bryce of a Rabbah, is it actually la'achar misager? You're right, the injury was even after the ger was already dead. But as the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, Usnei, and you should read the Braisa, that not Zacha, that he merits it, meaning the Chayvel, but rather Zachsa, that the woman merits it, which as Tosfos actually says, you don't have to even amend the Braisa. It rather, what it means is when it says Zacha, meaning whoever has the rights to merit it is going to merit it, which is a reference to the woman, which is Zachsa, and not to the Chayvel, because yes, as Rabbi explained, she takes possession of the fetuses during the pregnancy after the husband's death, and therefore, as Rabbi said, she does get it, and the chayvel has to pay. Now the Gemara says, Limi ketanoi. Let's say this machlekes Rabbah and Rav Chisda is a machlekes tanoim, because we learned the following halacha. Bas Yisrael shenisus leger v'nisabra mimenu. A Jewish woman, which as we said already from Rashi in the Mishnah, doesn't have to be necessarily a geyeris. The primary point is that the Jewish woman is married to a convert. V'nisabra mimenu, she becomes pregnant from him. V'chavol ba b'chai hager, and she gets an injury during the lifetime of her husband, the ger. Says the Braisa, Nisen de Mevlodis Leger. So then you give the value of the child, the fetus, to the Ger, which is, goes to the husband. La'achar Misa Ger, after the death of the Ger. So Tani Chada Chayv, we learn one Braisa that then the Chayvel is liable to pay. But Tani Chada Pater, we learn one Braisa that he's exempt. Says the Gemara, My Lav Tanoi Ninu, isn't this the Machlokes Tanoim? Exactly, the Machlokes, Rabbah and Rav Chisda, regarding what's the halacha after the husband's death. Then she gets injured. Is there going to be liability? Whereas Rabbi said that he is liable because you have to give it to the wife. Or is like the other Bryce said, like Rav Chisda, that no, that he's going to be exempt, which is just like the halacha, had he been alive during the injury. Same thing as if the husband was dead during the injury, it doesn't make a difference. The one who is chayvel is going to be potter. So that the Gemara says no. L'Rabba Vada. According to Rabbi, definitely you have to explain his opinion that it's tanoihi. That it's dependent on the machlekes tanoim. In other words, Rabbi that says that in such a case when he was already dead at the time of the injury, the husband, that then the chayvel, the damager, has to pay to the wife. So then, Rabbi has to say that he's like that. Braisa says that it's chayiv. But the Braisa said that the chayvel is going to be pater, that can't fit like Rabbi. So obviously he has to say that, yes, I'm going like that Tanu who says chayiv, but the one who says pater obviously is disagreeing with me. But says the Gemara, El Rav Chisda, Mi Leima Tanoihi. According to Rav Chisda, do we have to say that his opinion is also dependent on the Machlokes Tanoim? In other words, do we have to say that Rav Chisda is going to say, you're right, I say like the Tana that says that he's going to be Potter? Or the Gemara's question is, could he answer and explain that the Braisa that says that the Chayv is going to be Chayiv is talking about something else, which wouldn't contradict him, and he could be like both Braisas, like both Tanoim? So says the Gemara, yes, loy kasha, it's not a difficulty. In other words, Rav Chisda could tell you that both of the Tanoim hold like me, which is that there is an exemption of the Dmei Vlades, whether the husband was alive at the time of the Chavalah, or even if he wasn't alive at the time of Chavalah. Either way, the Chav was going to be exempt. But they're actually, these two Braises are disagreeing regarding a different halacha, not of Dmei Vlades, but of Shvach Vlades. Ha, the Braisa that said that the Chayvel is going to be Pater is going like the Rabbanon, that they say that Shvach Vladis, as we mentioned, as we explained for the Halacha, the Mishnah, they hold that all of it, not just Dmei Vladis, but even the Shvach Vladis, what the woman increased in value because of a pregnancy, all goes to the husband. So once he dies, so then yes, so then the Chayvel merits it from the Hefker, just like we said regarding the Dmei Vladis. But ha, the Braisa that says that it's going to be Chayiv, is talking about the Shvach Vlades, because that's going like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that he says that the Shvach Vlades, the woman gets half. As we explained regarding the later pregnancies, the woman gets half, and she's still alive. And therefore, since she's still alive, so then of course there's going to be a Chiv. Now, as Rashi points out, the way the Gemara says that they're not discussing Demei Vlades. I mean, Demei Vlades, they all agree to Rav Chisda. The Machlek is regarding Shvach Vlades, as we had this Machlek is in our Mishnah of Rabbanim Shem Gamliel. That only works according to Rav Chisda. But Rabbah wouldn't be able to give such an answer. Because according to him, a woman merits the part of her husband from Hefker. She's the first one. When her husband dies, when she's still pregnant, she merits it. And therefore, since she's pregnant and she's in possession of them at the time of the death, so then actually, why would it be, according to everybody, putter from the Shvach Vlades and the Dmei Vlades? What do you mean? It's hers. Even the Rabbanan should agree that he should have to pay to the woman the Dmei Vlades and the Shvach Vlades. So according to Rabbi, for sure, it's totally in the Machlekes Tanoim. But according to Rav Chisda, you could say that actually everyone agrees to him, but the disagreement between these two brides are not even discussing the Dmei Vlades. That actually, everyone agrees it's going to be Potter, but they're disagreeing regarding Shvach Vlades. Now, the Gemara asks, but Reb Shimon Gamliel, if you're saying that the Brice that says that La'achar Mises Hager, that then there's going to be a liability, what's the liability? What do you mean? Isn't he exempt? He was Machzeh Benis Hager. Oh, that's regarding Shvach Vlades, because the woman is still alive, and the woman, she still gets her half. So then the question is, Ma'ir La'achar Misa? Then why does the Brice have to say that the one that says it's going to be Chayiv is talking about after the death of the husband, that's the ger, to say that you still have to give her her portion, which she always had and she's still alive, of getting the half of Shvach Vlades. But afila mechayim, even when her husband, the ger, was Nami, was still alive, you would still have to give her her portion, isla palga, she still gets her half, that half of the Shvach Vlades. So then how do we understand, why is the Braisa saying that it's talking about la'achar misa ger, that halacha is even when the ger is still alive? So the Gemara answers, no, mechayim isla palga. When she's alive, then meaning when the husband's still alive, then she gets only half. The reason why the Braisa says it la'achar misa ger, because la'achar misa, after the death of the husband, the ger, kule, then she actually gets all of the Shvach Vlades, because now she merits not just her half, but even the half of the Shvach of the Vlades of her husband. Now that he's dead, she gets the full amount. That's why it was important for the Braisa to say it in the case of la'achar misa ger. So that's one approach regarding Rav Chisda, to say that one Braisa is like Reb Shimon Gamliel and one is like Rabban. Or if the Gemara says, if you want, you could say, Havahar Reb Shimon Gamliel. Actually, both Braises, the one that says Chayim and the one that says Patr, are both like Reb Shimon Gamliel. But Kan b'Shvach Vlades, the one that says you're going to be Chayiv, is regarding Shvach Vlades. As we said, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, that the woman always gets her half and now actually she's getting all of it. But Kan b'Dmei Vlades, the Braises says that there's going to be exemption, is, again, even like Reb Shimon Gamliel, because as Rav Chisda said, everyone holds like him. But as regarding Dmei Vlades, where even if the husband was dead, whether before or after, there's always going to be an exemption from Dmei Vlades for the Chayav to have to pay. Those are two different approaches to say that everyone's like, both Braisa are like Rav Chisda. But now the Gemara asks, Amri, they said, according to both interpretations of the Gemara, that it's difficult according to Rav Chisda, because Mishvach Vlades, meaning to the primary opinion of Rav Chisda, that he disagrees with Rabbah. Because Mishvach Vlades, from the halacha of Shvach Vlades, which is, as we explain, that when half of it, when the husband is alive, goes to the husband, and we said half of it goes to the wife. Now, on that, you're telling me, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, that when he dies and she's still pregnant, that she merits not only, and that's why we explain why it says La'achar Misa Ger, is to say not only does she get her half of the Shvach Vlades, but now she's even going to get his half of the Shvach Vlades. That's how we explained it according to Rav Chisda. So says the Gemara, from the halacha of Shvach Vlades, Lishama Dmei Vlades, we should be able to infer the halacha regarding Dmei Vlades, which is that she should also merit now, upon his death, also the value of the actual fetuses, of which was her husband's right, because what's the difference between Dmei Vlades and Shvach Vlades? Just like by Shvach Vlades, you're saying that when he dies, she gets not only her portion, which she always had of half the Shvach Vlades, of the increase of her body, she also gets her husband's share. Well, then also upon his death, she should get the Dmei Vlades from his rights. Now, moreover, that's taking, according to Shimon Gamliel's opinion, which we just explained for him, that he's saying, why la'achar misa ger, to say that it's not just she gets half, she gets all of it now. So then we're saying, okay, then compare Shvach Vlades to Dmei Vlades. Moreover, Reb Shimon Gamliel, from this opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel, which we're telling you that she merits his portion, Lishama l'Rabbanon, that we should also infer that, even according to the Rabbanon, that also she should also merit all of his portions. Because the Rabbanon, the only thing they disagreed with Reb Shimon Gamliel was when the husband is alive. That was their machlekes. The Rabbanon said all of it goes to the husband. Reb Shimon Gamliel says no, half goes to the woman and half goes to the husband. But regarding the merits of the woman at the moment when the husband, the ger, dies, that we don't find anywhere machlekes Rabbanon and Reb Shimon Gamliel. So therefore, we actually now it's difficult, the opinion of Rav Chisda, why did he say that the woman doesn't merit? He disagreed with Rabbi. He said that, no, the chayv was going to be pater if the chavala was after the misager. Why? From the way you just explained Rav Shimon Gamliel, actually that should tell us that when the husband does die and she's still pregnant, that she merits not only his half in Shemach Vladis, which again was Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, but the same thing should apply to the May Vladis, and therefore the same thing should be according to Rabbanim, because they don't disagree. They only disagree regarding when the husband's alive, who gets the Shemach Vladis. So they said all of it goes to the husband. He says no, half and half. But we see Rav Shimon Gamliel says that, but when he dies, then the woman inherits it. So then they should agree to that same concept. We don't find they disagree regarding that. And if that's the case, and we know Rav Shmuel holds that because you said it regarding Shvach Vladis, so same thing should be the Dmei Vladis, so then Rabban should also hold that Dmei Vladis goes to the woman. That refutes actually Rav Chizda's own opinion, which was that he said that no, when the husband dies and the woman's still pregnant, she doesn't merit it, because what's Rari, where you think it's a bundle of money, she does nothing to merit. But now, but the inference is, the way we just explained the opinion of Rav Shmuel Gamliel, a court for Rav Chizda's purpose, it actually refutes Rav Chizda's own opinion. The Amri, they said, no, that's not the case. The how the question evolved, actually, there's one important misconception. And that is, we do not compare Dmei Vladis to Shvach Vladis. Shvach Vladis, the halacha of the increase of the woman because of her pregnancy, according to Reb Shimon, the Shaycha Yod Begavayu, the halacha was, yes, we said there's a difference, where we said that when the husband's still alive, then the woman has a shear in the Shvach Vladis. She gets half. So that's why we said that when the husband dies, Zachi Behu Bekulu. That's how we explain, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, why it's La'achar Misager, that yes, then she'll even get all of it. She'll get the other half from her husband when he dies. But that's only because she really had rights in it when he was still alive. But Dmei Vladis, Le'Shaycha Yod Begavai, but regarding the fetuses, when the husband was alive, she had no shears in it whatsoever, like the Pasuk says, it goes to Bala Isha, then Le'Zachi Buklal. So therefore then, she actually, even when the husband dies, she gets no rights of it whatsoever, and therefore, for sure, according to Rabbanan, that she would get nothing, and that's why it's not a difficulty on Rav Chizda's opinion. To the contrary, when he dies, she doesn't get anything. It's only Reb Shimon Gamliel in Shvach Vladis, which he had some rights before he died. Then is where we're explaining that Bryce, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, that when the husband does die, then she gets all of the May of the Shvach, the old of the Shvach Vladis. But that has nothing to do with the halacha when she has no rights, like by Dmei Vladis, which Rav Chizda says that that's why he's going to be exempt, even if he injured her where after the husband was already dead. Nothing more continues unrelated to this topic that we're talking about regarding Geir Shemes, regarding a convert that died, where whoever comes first, first come, first serve. So the Gemara has the following question. Rav Yeva Savim Rav Nachman. Rav Yeva, the elder, asked from Rav Nachman the following question. Hamachzik b'shtereisav shel ger. If someone takes possession of a convert's documents, where he's dead, and everyone could take whatever they want because there's no inheritors. Now, these documents are where a Jewish person was indebted, this was the deed to the convert regarding certain tracts of land. Now, this Jew comes and takes the documents themselves. So the question is, Mao, what's the halacha? As we'll see, the question is regarding the acquisition of the paper itself. Does the Jew who took the papers, the documents, own the papers themselves? As the Gemara explains, Man de machzik b'shtar, that's someone that takes possession of documents. Do we say, what do you want with the papers? You don't want the paper. You want what's written, the content of the paper. You want the deeds that you can get the land. But you're not getting. You're not taking possession of the land by holding the document, because that's not a kinyan in the land itself. Yes, for the ger, it's a proof. It's a deed. It's the way that he could show that he gets the land. But it's not a kinyan in the land. The Jew who takes possession of the papers, you're not getting anything. It's not your deed. You might get, you want maybe the paper, but the paper's not worth anything. So you're not getting the land, and therefore, actually, you're not acquiring even the piece of paper itself, because you don't want paper, who needs a piece of paper? You want it because of the deed, meaning of the land, but you're not getting the land, so then you're not getting the paper either. And therefore, if let's say another Jew comes and grabs away the paper, if he, let's say, wants to use it to cover his flask, so then he will merit it because the first guy who took it didn't take it with that intention. Because the lavdait the ashtar, his intention is not on the piece of paper, on the document, it's for the land, and you're not getting that. Or maybe that's the question, was no, maybe when someone takes the documents, he wants both. He wants the land. Okay, land he's not getting, but he wants the paper also. Paper has value too. So Amalei, so Rav Nachum responded, says, Anei Moiri, let the master answer me. What do you think? A guy needs to be able to wrap these papers on his flask? That you should think that his intention originally was for the piece of paper? Of course not. And therefore, what's the question? Of course, he never took possession of it. Which Amalei, Rabbi Yevaseva answered, he said, no, lots of lots. Yes, people want paper to cover the flask. You just want for the paper itself. And therefore, it is a valid question. Did he merit in the paper or not? Because for the land, he definitely didn't. A related discussion. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, Mashkoinei shel Yisrael biyad ger. If a Jewish person has security, but in the hand of a convert, meaning to say, as confidence that he's going to pay up the ger, he gave him something as security. Umeisa ger, and the convert dies. Now, everyone's coming and jumping, grabbing the stuff of the convert. Uba Yisrael achar v'hichzik bay. Now a different Jew comes and takes possession of that security. It's in the guy's house. He says, wow, that's a great couch, and he takes it himself. Now, he finds out later that this wasn't the convert's couch. It was a security for that Jewish person that owed him money. Says, Rabba, we take it away from that Jew who had taken it from the estate. My time, what's the reason? Because keeping the misleger, once the convert dies, pakele shibude. So then the indebtedness that the Jew had to the convert ceased to be, because he's dead now, and therefore the security goes back to the possession of the original owner, which is the Jew, and therefore it's not the convert's, and therefore this guy who took it can't hold on to it. Let's say the other way around. Let's say mashkoyne shalger biyad Yisrael. Let's say a convert owed a Jew money and he gave the Jew security. Umeisa ger, and now the convert died. Uba Yisrael, achar behechzik bay. Now a different Jew knew that what this Jew is holding on to is really not his. It's really the security of the convert. So he comes into the Jew's property and grabs it away. Says Rabba, zeh kana keneged me'isa. So the Jew who had it for security, he definitely acquires it according to the amount of money that he was owed by the convert, because that was the point of the security and that he owns that part. But Vizekon Esashar, but the Jew who grabbed it now after the death of the convert, the rest of the value, which was more than the amount that was owed to the Jew, he acquires that amount of that security. Torah Gemara asks, Vamai, but why? Tikni Lechad Seiroi, let the courtyard of the one who was holding the security acquire the whole security, not just the amount that was owed to him. Because the Amr Rabbi Chanina, he says, Chad Seiroi Shal Adam, Koinele Shalei Medaite, a person's courtyard acquires for him, even without his awareness. It's a merit for the person. It's an extension of him that his courtyard merits for him. So then from the moment of the ger's death, the courtyard should have automatically acquired it to the guy who's holding the security. Why do we say that this other guy who grabs now can get the excess of how much was owed to that Jew? So I think Moses says, Amri, they said, Hachma Yiskina, the case that we're talking about over here that Rabbi had described, that this guy who came now afterwards can get the excess, is Delesa, where the lender is not in the city at the time of when this guy had died, where this other Jew came and had taken possession of it. Because kol hecha de isa l'diday, where the lender, the guy who's holding the security, is around, the ibayim makni matzakan, if he wants to take possession, he could do a kinyan. He's around to do it. So then kanyale namechatzer. So then also his courtyard could take possession of him. Kol hecha de lesa l'diday, where he's not around, the ibayim hu lemikni lematzakani, where if he had wanted to take possession of it to do an acquisition, he would not have been able to because he's not around. So therefore his courtyard also doesn't take possession of him, even meaning shalei b'fanav, and therefore that other person take possession of that excess before him. Now, however, the Gemara concludes actually that the hilchasa, the halacha actually is, this that we said, that this other guy gets the rest, it's only the lesa, it's only if the mashkin, if the security is not Bichatzeroi in the courtyard of the lender at the moment of the death of the convert, with it's only there Deloikana. It's only there where then the field will not acquire it because not in the field of the person at that time. But if the mashkin, if the security was in that person's courtyard, then even if the lender is not in town, then the Gemara concludes actually the halacha is that his chatzah would acquire for him. He doesn't have to be around. It's only if not only is he not around, meaning, but actually the security is not in his field, so then obviously his chatzah cannot be kainit for it. That's when someone else could get the excess. But if you're right, if it was in his chatzah, he would be kainit even shalei b'fanav, even if he's not in town. Now the Gemara continues now with the next mazik, not with shor as we were discussing up until now, but with the mazik of bur, of a person who digs a pit. Begins the Mishnah. Chayfer bay b'rishus hayachir. Someone digs a pit in a private domain, but upsach el rishus haram, the opening, the entrance for the pit, is in the public domain. Whereas Rashi points out most definitely if he actually dug the pit in rishus haram and the opening was in rishus haram, because you can't say that it has to be like the Mishnah had said it, where it's only if he dug it in his own property, where, because then the reason why he's going to be liable is because then at least there's an owner of that pit. But you would say that if he dug the pit in Rosh Hashanah, he would be exempt, because the end of this Mishnah, meaning on Daf Nun Amud Beis, actually teaches clearly that if someone digs a pit in Rosh Hashanah and someone falls in, he's going to be liable. So it's actually just adding a chiddush. It's not only if he dug in Rosh Hashanah, but even if he dug in Rosh Hashanah, because at least the entrance, the opening, is in Rosh Hashanah. Or says the Mishnah, or let's say he dug the pit in the public domain, but the opening, the way you enter into it, is from a private domain, which is a bar b'shus hayachid. But the case must be talking about where he was mafke his rishus, the area around the opening of the pit, which was his private property, he declared ownerless, whoever wants could enter the area, where he can't say anymore, my b'isa b'rishus, what are you doing in my property? Because if it was his private property, of course he wouldn't be liable. Now, but he was mafke the area of his property, and then someone falls in through the opening, then, as the Mishnah is going to say, is going to be liable, because the Tanav Mishnah holds that the liability of Bayer is whether it's in Rishas Arabim or whether it's in Rishas HaYachad, at least, but when it's in Rishas HaYachad, it has to be, but that he was mafka the Rishas around it, so then he can't tell people, I'm not liable, what are you doing on my property? Because you will mafka your property, you let people come in. So either one, whether it's the opening, whether it's dug in Rishas HaYachad and the opening is Rishas HaRabim, or he dug in Rishas HaRabim and the opening is in Rishas HaYachad, or even Rishas HaYachad upsach Rishas HaYachad achar, or even if he dug in one private domain and the opening is in another private domain, even though none of them, not the pit itself and not the opening is in Rishas HaRabim, still chayv the halacha is that he's going to be liable. But again, as we said before, as long as he was mafke the Rishas of the area of where the opening of the pit is, as long as that area where he can't tell any people, why are you doing here? Why should I be liable? You don't belong here. Of course we belong here. You said anyone could come here, you will mafke your rishus, then the halacha is going to be, even though it's a bar b'shus hayachid, but still it's an area that people are allowed to be there, then there's going to be a liability no matter where the pit is. Bein b'shus hayachid, bein b'shus haram, the one who dug the pit is going to be chayv.